friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. These tremendous words speaking of our God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And our subject this morning is the God who cares, the God who cares. These are the words of the Apostle Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, dated around the year 60 AD. This is when we believe he wrote this letter, and so that's roughly 30 years after the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is writing to fellow believers in a part of the world that was then known as Asia Minor. Nowadays it's generally covered by modern day Turkey, but at that time, in the early days of the church, in that part of the world, there was a substantial number of believers, of Christians, those who had been newly converted to this new gospel message. And so this letter is written for them to instruct them and to guide them in matters of the faith. And Peter, just to remind you, many of you know this already, Peter, unlike the Apostle Paul, well, he had been with the Lord during his earthly ministry when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth preaching and teaching. Peter had been with him. Peter, of course, previously had been a fisherman, a mere fisherman hailing from a town called Bethsaida, and he was called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the Lord gave him a new name, gave him that name Peter, or Cephas in Aramaic, which means rock, Peter the rock. And of course, Peter was to play a fundamental part in the spreading of the gospel in the early days of the Christian church. So he knew the Lord personally. He had seen the face of the Lord. He had talked with him. He had eaten with him. He had heard his words, those words that were perfectly true, no guile or deception in them. Peter had heard these things. Peter, of course, had seen all the miracles. He had witnessed tremendous things, tremendous healings. Peter was one of only three disciples who had seen the Lord transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, the Lord had gone up to a high mountain with only three of his disciples. Peter was one of them. And the Lord, well, his face shone as the sun, and his clothing was white, pure white. It was to show that Christ was divine. He was the Son of God. He was equal with God. He is equal with God, one with God in every sense. So Christ showed forth his divinity to Peter, and indeed it was Simon Peter who said, "Thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was Peter who made that proclamation. So Peter knew that to know Christ personally was to know God personally. And well, even there, we could pause for a few moments just to think of the application. It's the same for us even now. When we know Christ personally through faith, we know God personally through faith. It's the only way to personally know God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the only way. There are other religions, of course. We all know this. And the other religions can teach you many things. They can teach you how to be religious. They can teach you how to do religious things and meditate and do all sorts of things. But you can't know God personally through those religions. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can know God personally and have a personal relationship with Him. And this is what it is to be a true Christian. A true Christian is not somebody who just does religious things, because you could go to any other religion and do that. A true Christian, the difference in the Christian faith is that you know God personally, just like you know your friends. You know Him, you speak to Him, you walk with Him. But the difference is, of course, Christ is your greatest friend, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the one you put at the very center of your life. That's the difference. That's what it is to be a true Christian. You don't just know about God, you know God personally. And Peter, well, if anybody knew God, the Apostle Peter, he knew God. And well, if we consider our verse, because Peter knew God, he knew obviously that God cares. God cares for us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God is a carer. We all need to be cared for. We all need to be looked after. Why, it's the most obvious thing about us from the day we're born. The day we are born, well, the day we're brought into this world, we have to be cared for. We're weak, we're vulnerable. We can't fend for ourselves. Of course we can't. We're little babies. So the most obvious thing about us as soon as we're born, day one, we need to be cared for. That is the nature of us as human beings. And our parents do indeed care for us. But even at the very end of life, at the very end of life, when we get older, the elderly, we need carers, particularly in this day and age, seems to be a huge industry now. But it's because when we come to the end of our lives, when our strength fails us and our health fails us, we need to be cared for. We need people to come and to assist us. And this is very obvious. But God is our great carer. Our great carer. He doesn't just care for us at the beginning of our lives and at the end of our lives. All the way through, He cares for us. He watches over us and He cares for us. And He sees us in all things. Even when we think He doesn't care, God is watching over us and cares for our situation. God's care, by the way, is for everybody. God's care is not just for Christians. Yes, of course, Christians know a very special care because they're His people. But if you're not a Christian today and you're sat here, don't think that God doesn't care for you. Oh, God just cares for His people and not for anybody else. No, there is a level of care for you. There's a measure of care for you. God gives to everybody life and health and strength and breath. Everything that you know in your life, your parents, your friends, God has brought them into your life. All your gifts, all your talents, all the things that you can do, all the abilities that you have in your life. And people point at you and say, oh, he's good at this, she's good at that. God, in His care, has given you all those things. Even if you're not a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said that God makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Not just on the good, on the evil and on the good. Why? Because God cares for all. He is a caring God. And well, when you look at this verse, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, well, this is a tremendous thing. It's an amazing thing to think that God invites us to bring all His cares to Him. He invites us. Sometimes we don't want to share our worries, our cares with other people, because we don't know how they're going to respond. Maybe they don't want to hear about all our cares. Sometimes we don't tell people about our cares because we don't want to burden them with those things. But here we have a God, He invites us. Come, Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. And that word casting all your care, well, it's a strong word. It's like you're throwing all your cares at him. So God is saying, come, don't just bring your cares, you can pour out your heart to me. That is the type of God that I am, the only God. Come and bring all your cares before me. Do not be afraid. He invites us to bring our cares to him. And of course, it's all your care, casting all your care upon him. Nothing is too big to bring to the Lord. Nothing is too small. You can bring small cares to the Lord. You know, a child who's perhaps lost a doll or a toy and is distressed by it. Can that child bring that care to God in prayer? Yes. Casting all your care, everything, even things that nobody else would ever care about, things that other people would just dismiss. Oh, don't bother me with all this. You can bring it to God. All your cares you bring to him, the smallest of things and the greatest of things, of course. I don't have to speak much about that. All your stress, your trials, bereavements, your griefs, you can bring all these things to the Lord in prayer. You know, of course, that God is the only one who ever really truly understands what you're going through. You can sit someone down, you could sit me down in that office, you can pour out your heart to me for hours, but I won't really know exactly what you're going through. I can't, I'm just human, I'm limited. I don't really know your pain and your anxiety and your grief. I can guess, but I don't really know it. But God can. God knows everything. He knows exactly what you're going through. So when you have big trials, well, perhaps it's better to go to him in prayer. Rather than to spend hours on the phone speaking to a friend, you go to God because you know that he knows exactly how you feel. Exactly. Nobody else does. He can sympathize and he can empathize perfectly. So we bring our cares to him. But you know, well, the Lord, our God, he has a great care concerning us. And this is where I begin to apply this verse evangelistically. God has a great care for us. And his care, well, it's something that we don't really care about as much as we ought to do. And this world certainly doesn't care about. God's greatest care is for our souls. That is God's greatest care for us. The world in which we live in does not care for our souls. It cares for lots of other things. It cares for material things. The needs of the physical body, what we eat, what we drink, and all those sorts of things, carnal things. That's how the Bible describes it. What we eat, what we drink, our possessions, our clothing, our homes, luxury items. The world cares very much about that. You have to have this, you have to have that. That's what it cares about. But the soul doesn't give anything for the soul. The soul is impoverished. The world doesn't know or care about the soul. And yet the soul is the most important thing about us. I stress it repeatedly because it is so important. The soul, the real you, your character, your personality, your emotions, your passions, your heart, your will. That's the real person. That's the real you. Your body, your flesh, well, that's just a shell. If your soul leaves your body, you are nothing. You're dead. The soul is the real person. It's the most important part of you. And yet what a tragedy it is that nobody cares about it. I remember my own testimony Before I was saved, I was beginning to think about spiritual things, about eternal things. I was beginning to read the Bible. And I would ask my friends who weren't believers, I would speak to them about these things, or at least try to. Have you ever thought about spiritual things? Have you ever thought about eternal things? Have you ever thought about the meaning of life? And you know, well, they would just turn to me and say, oh, don't worry about that. Why are you thinking about those things? Those things are so deep. They're so depressing. You don't have to worry about those things. Let's just go and do something else. Let's just go down the pub and drown all our sorrows away. They didn't care about the soul. And this is such a sad state of the world today. And no wonder, because this world is under the influence of the enemy of souls. There is an enemy of souls. We read about the enemy of souls in verse 8, just after the verse we're considering. Look at verse 8 just for a minute. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Our enemy, the devil. Why does Peter mention the devil just after a verse about God caring for us? Why does he say God cares for us and then warns us immediately about the devil? Well, it's because the devil will always pretend, will always lie, that he cares for us. That he cares for us more than God cares for you. This is why so many people don't want to come to Christ. Because the devil is whispering in your ear, oh, you don't need him. He doesn't really care for you. I care far more for you. I want to give you everything. I want to give you a life that you will enjoy. God won't give you those things. God wants to take away your pleasures. God wants to take away all the things that you enjoy. He doesn't care for you, but you come to me, I will care. But dear friends, that's a terrible and a horrendous lie. He wants to lead you as far away from God as possible, because that means that you will lose your soul. God hates us. God is our adversary, our enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You must note those words, dear friends, because that's what the devil will say to you. Come with me, I will give you the whole world. Look at what the world can offer. In the culture, in the media, in the music, I will give you all those things. But at the end, you'll lose your own soul. Your soul will be lost. The devil does not care about you. And that's why Peter gives this warning. Dear friends, you must care about your soul. You must care about the state of your soul and about sin. Sin must be your greatest care. You know, those things that trouble us the most, our greatest cares, do you know that they come from our own sins? The things that cause us the most grief and the most pain in our lives, the things that give us the most shame, it's not the things that other people have done to us, it's the things that we have done. It's the sins that we have committed. It's the times that we've lied. It's the times that we've stolen, or the times we've lost our temper and said horrible and hateful things. That's what gives us the greatest care and grief in our lives, the greatest pain, the times we've sinned, coveted, betrayed others. Very often, and I've known people like this, even when they lose people, even when they're bereaved, they lose a loved one. You know what their greatest pain is? It's not so much that they've lost someone, it's that they didn't treat that person right when they were alive. That's their great pain. Oh, I should have been kinder to that person. I should have spent more time with that person, but I didn't. I should have loved that person more, but I didn't. That's their great pain, their great grief, their own sin. the things they didn't do. It's not the loss, it's their own sin and their own inadequacy. So that's where our greatest griefs come from. It's our own sin. And by the way, when you come to the end of your life and you meet with God, the only thing you're going to care about is your own sin. When you stand before God, it's just you and God. There's nobody else in the picture. You're not going to care about anybody else's sin. It's your sin that will be your greatest care. So you have to think about these things. Your soul depends upon it. But even though you don't care, God has cared and God has made provision for our souls through the Lord Jesus Christ, through him coming and dying on the cross at Calvary. He has made provision for our souls. We have sinned, but Christ takes the punishment for us upon the cross so that we may be forgiven. You must hold on to that. This is how we know that God cares for us. How can we know that God cares for us? How can we trust God? How can we know that if we bring all our cares to him, he will meet our needs? He will provide for us. Well, because in Christ, through faith in Christ, we know that he has met our greatest need. He has met our greatest need, the forgiveness of sin. So if he's done that, well, then he'll provide for everything else. We were sinners. We were lost sinners, heading for eternal death. But God sent his only begotten Son, the one whom he loves so dearly, into this world to die for us. Amazing. Such love, such care for us. How can I not trust this God? This is where the basis of our trust is, because Christ has come. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Christ has died for us. That is how we know that God will provide for everything else. So if you truly trust Christ, if you truly trust God, you will trust in what he has done at the cross. That's the basis. You must believe in Christ and Calvary. We must all come to God for the forgiveness of our sin. Have you come? Have you, each one of you, come to Christ for the forgiveness of sin? Bring all your sins. Cast all your sins before God. No matter how small, no matter how great. Well, we think of the Apostle Peter as I begin to draw to conclusion. The Apostle Peter, all of you will know this, I'm sure, he was guilty of a very great sin. The Apostle Peter, he was guilty of a tremendous sin. Remember, on the night when Christ, Christ was to be crucified, on the eve of Christ's crucifixion, well, Peter said to the Lord Jesus, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. Even if everybody else does, I will not forsake you. That's what Peter said. But what happened when Christ was crucified? Peter denied him. Peter betrayed him, as it were. Not once, not twice, but three times. What a terrible sin. What a terrible betrayal. But what did Christ do? What did the risen Christ do when he saw Peter? Did he condemn him? Did he crush him? No, he didn't. He cared for him. He cared for the Apostle Peter. He forgave Peter. He restored Peter. He used Peter gloriously for the work of his kingdom. And you know, that's what he'll do with each and every one of us. If we come to Christ with all our sins, well, we will not be condemned. We will not be crushed. We will be forgiven. We will be blessed. We will be used of God. We will be loved by God. That is how God is. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. So you must come to him. He will save you. Come this day. He will save you. You will be his own. And you will dwell with God forever. We think of that eternity that is ahead of us when we believe in Christ. We may die in the body, but our souls will go to be with him in that place of eternal joy and eternal peace. There will be no tear shed in that place. There will be no care whatsoever in that place. This verse will be completely and utterly fulfilled when we get to heaven. That is the place when we shall know no cares at all. But you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing everything to him, nothing to fear, no condemnation, only peace and everlasting joy, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is the God whom we know, who is revealed to us in the scripture, the God who is a caring God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, impress greatly upon the hearts of all those who are present that thou art the God who cares and who calls us each one to bring all our cares, all our sin before him, that we may receive peace and pardon and forgiveness for all that we have done. Oh Lord, we think of all that we have done, those things that pain us and grieve us. Lord, may we come that we may be relieved of that burden and trust in Christ who has made an end of all our sin. We ask it all in his name and for his sake. Amen.